Task 1. Listen to the story and mark the statements below 1 to 5 with T if they are true, F if they are false, or an S if the information is not given. You will hear the recording twice. Now you have 30 seconds to look through the statements. Now we begin.
Cave diving, officially the world's most dangerous sport, isn't for everyone. If you're the kind of person who enjoys being underwater in dark, enclosed spaces, then it's probably the ultimate adventure sport. People often say cave diving sounds like their worst nightmare, but for people like me, it's a real passion. It's like the caves have a power over me. What I love about it most is the amazing beauty of these caves, not to mention their incredible size. It's like nowhere else. You're looking at rock formations that are millions of years old, and the water is crystal clear. Another thing I like is that I'm seeing things that no one has ever seen before. I'm like an explorer discovering new places. This is especially true now that I go down on my own. When I was first learning how to dive, I went down with an instructor who showed me where to go, so that wasn't the same. But you shouldn't go alone until you've had lots of practice and experience. Even then, it can be very dangerous, but that's what some divers say they love about it. They enjoy the challenge. I always plan my dives as much as I can, as I prefer to be in control. If I feel stressed, I make mistakes. But if you know what you're doing, then you shouldn't have a problem. I think the worst thing that can happen is if your lights go out for some reason. It's really scary being in total darkness. So that's why it's important to take two sets of lights with you. Something you need to be aware of is that you can't immediately escape to the surface if you get into difficulties, which means your survival depends on your problem-solving abilities. You need to recognize what is happening and follow all the correct procedures you've been taught. Having said all that, cave diving isn't dangerous if you follow a few simple rules. Most of the accidents you read about could have been avoided if these people had followed simple steps to reduce the risks involved. Usually, they've done something which wasn't safe, and they should have known better. It's also very important to know when to call a dive or go back. Another big danger is getting lost. Imagine entering an underwater room and looking back to see there is not one, but dozens of passages, and not knowing which way leads back to the entrance. The longer you spend underwater, the more gas you need on your back to help you breathe. You need enough to allow you the time to get back to the entrance if something goes wrong. So it's obviously only a sport for experienced divers. Even if you have all the right equipment, that won't help you if you don't know what you're doing. So you should never attempt cave diving without adequate training. There are lots of good courses to choose from. It takes a special sort of person to become a good cave diver. You must be the kind of person who doesn't panic if something goes wrong, and that takes a great deal of self-control. However, you can learn a lot about yourself from diving, and I think knowing you can survive in such a demanding environment gives you greater confidence, both at work and socially. It won't help you get a job or make friends, but it will make you feel better about yourself. If you're interested in finding out more...
Now you have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now, listen again.
Cave diving, officially the world's most dangerous sport, isn't for everyone. If you're the kind of person who enjoys being underwater in dark, enclosed spaces, then it's probably the ultimate adventure sport. People often say cave diving sounds like their worst nightmare, but for people like me, it's a real passion. It's like the caves have a power over me. What I love about it most is the amazing beauty of these caves, not to mention their incredible size. It's like nowhere else. You're looking at rock formations that are millions of years old, and the water is crystal clear. Another thing I like is that I'm seeing things that no one has ever seen before. I'm like an explorer discovering new places. This is especially true now that I go down on my own. When I was first learning how to dive, I went down with an instructor who showed me where to go, so that wasn't the same. But you shouldn't go alone until you've had lots of practice and experience. Even then, it can be very dangerous, but that's what some divers say they love about it. They enjoy the challenge. I always plan my dives as much as I can, as I prefer to be in control. If I feel stressed, I make mistakes. But if you know what you're doing, then you shouldn't have a problem. I think the worst thing that can happen is if your lights go out for some reason. It's really scary being in total darkness. So that's why it's important to take two sets of lights with you. Something you need to be aware of is that you can't immediately escape to the surface if you get into difficulties, which means your survival depends on your problem-solving abilities. You need to recognize what is happening and follow all the correct procedures you've been taught. Having said all that, cave diving isn't dangerous if you follow a few simple rules. Most of the accidents you read about could have been avoided if these people had followed simple steps to reduce the risks involved. Usually, they've done something which wasn't safe, and they should have known better. It's also very important to know when to call a dive or go back. Another big danger is getting lost. Imagine entering an underwater room and looking back to see there is not one, but dozens of passages, and not knowing which way leads back to the entrance. The longer you spend underwater, the more gas you need on your back to help you breathe. You need enough to allow you the time to get back to the entrance if something goes wrong. So it's obviously only a sport for experienced divers. Even if you have all the right equipment, that won't help you if you don't know what you're doing. So you should never attempt cave diving without adequate training. There are lots of good courses to choose from. It takes a special sort of person to become a good cave diver. You must be the kind of person who doesn't panic if something goes wrong, and that takes a great deal of self-control. However, you can learn a lot about yourself from diving, and I think knowing you can survive in such a demanding environment gives you greater confidence, both at work and socially. It won't help you get a job or make friends, but it will make you feel better about yourself. If you're interested in finding out more...
Now you have 30 seconds to choose your answers. That is the end of task one. Task two. Listen to the story and choose the best answer, A, B, or C, to questions 6 to 10. You will hear the story twice. Now you have 30 seconds to look through the questions and answers. Now we begin.
Hi. Today I'm going to tell you about the project I've done all about gorillas, an animal that's interested me ever since I was little. I remember being given an amazing book about them with loads of wonderful pictures in it. That was because I'd watched a film about them when I was about 7 and they'd really captured my imagination. Unfortunately, I couldn't find that book when I was doing my project, which was a shame. My uncle also helped keep my enthusiasm going. He's a teacher now, but for a time he had a job as a tour guide in the southwest of Uganda, which is one of the gorillas' main habitats. They can also be found in Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. He's a keen photographer in his spare time, and he sent me lots of photos he took while he was there. It's generally agreed that there are several types of gorilla: lowland gorillas, cross-river gorillas, and also mountain gorillas, which were the ones my uncle saw and took pictures of. These names obviously reflect the environments they're typically found in. I'll show you some of his pictures later on, but the majority of the ones I've got for you, as well as the stuff I'm going to tell you about, come from a website called junglelife.com. I also used another website called animalways.com. Although it was less useful for this project, it did have some interesting stuff about conservation work being done to help protect gorillas. People often think of gorillas as large, aggressive animals, thumping their chests and making scary noises. But I discovered from my research that they're not actually fierce at all. They're peaceful, unless they're threatened in some way. Gorillas are mainly herbivores, which means that although they are very large creatures, they manage on a diet of plants. They eat all sorts of shoots and leaves, for example. They can occasionally also be seen eating insects, apparently, which I hadn't realised. And despite the fact that they live in a very hot climate, these animals are very rarely observed drinking. They seem to get enough water from their diet without needing anything extra. A group of mountain gorillas usually consists of one or two younger males, a few females and their young. This group is led by the dominant male, who's known as the silverback. It's a good name because it refers to the way the adult male's coat turns from black to grey as he matures. And you won't be surprised to hear that the blackback is the name given to the less mature male gorillas. Like other apes, gorillas build nests. Many apes, for example chimpanzees, make their nests in trees, whereas gorillas make theirs on the ground, pulling down branches to do this. The young share a nest with their mothers, but once they're about 3 years old, they move into their own. Gorillas don't have many predators. The main animals that are a threat to them are leopards, wildcats, and of course other larger gorillas. However, sadly, humans are their greatest enemy, and that's the same story with many endangered animals today. If you'd like to find out more about these wonderful animals, there are a number of good books about gorillas in the school library. I'd suggest you read this book by Carola Newcomb. It's called Gorillas in the Rainforest. There's another book by Thomas Paine called Gorillas in the Wild. I don't think that's quite so interesting, in fact, but both these books are better than Gorillas in Danger, which is a bit depressing. Anyway, I'd like to show you some of the photos I...
Now you have 30 seconds to check your answers. Now, listen again.
Hi. Today, I'm going to tell you about the project I've done all about gorillas, an animal that's interested me ever since I was little. I remember being given an amazing book about them with loads of wonderful pictures in it. That was because I'd watched a film about them when I was about 7, and they'd really captured my imagination. Unfortunately, I couldn't find that book when I was doing my project, which was a shame. My uncle also helped keep my enthusiasm going. He's a teacher now, but for a time he had a job as a tour guide in the southwest of Uganda, which is one of the gorillas' main habitats. They can also be found in Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. He's a keen photographer in his spare time, and he sent me lots of photos he took while he was there. It's generally agreed that there are several types of gorilla: lowland gorillas, cross-river gorillas, and also mountain gorillas, which were the ones my uncle saw and took pictures of. These names obviously reflect the environments they're typically found in. I'll show you some of his pictures later on, but the majority of the ones I've got for you, as well as the stuff I'm going to tell you about, come from a website called junglelife.com. I also used another website called animalways.com. Although it was less useful for this project, it did have some interesting stuff about conservation work being done to help protect gorillas. People often think of gorillas as large, aggressive animals, thumping their chests and making scary noises. But I discovered from my research that they're not actually fierce at all. They're peaceful, unless they're threatened in some way. Gorillas are mainly herbivores, which means that although they are very large creatures, they manage on a diet of plants. They eat all sorts of shoots and leaves, for example. They can occasionally also be seen eating insects, apparently, which I hadn't realised. And despite the fact that they live in a very hot climate, these animals are very rarely observed drinking. They seem to get enough water from their diet without needing anything extra. A group of mountain gorillas usually consists of one or two younger males, a few females and their young. This group is led by the dominant male, who's known as the silverback. It's a good name because it refers to the way the adult male's coat turns from black to grey as he matures. And you won't be surprised to hear that the blackback is the name given to the less mature male gorillas. Like other apes, gorillas build nests. Many apes, for example chimpanzees, make their nests in trees, whereas gorillas make theirs on the ground, pulling down branches to do this. The young share a nest with their mothers, but once they're about 3 years old, they move into their own. Gorillas don't have many predators. The main animals that are a threat to them are leopards, wildcats, and of course other larger gorillas. However, sadly, humans are their greatest enemy, and that's the same story with many endangered animals today. If you'd like to find out more about these wonderful animals, there are a number of good books about gorillas in the school library. I'd suggest you read this book by Carola Newcomb. It's called Gorillas in the Rainforest. There's another book by Thomas Paine called Gorillas in the Wild. I don't think that's quite so interesting, in fact, but both these books are better than Gorillas in Danger, which is a bit depressing. Anyway, I'd like to show you some of the photos I...
Now you have 30 seconds to choose your answers. That is the end of the listening task.